Welcome to Tantra Cafe, a program for spiritual enlightenment. I'm Laurie Handlers, your host, and I am so happy to be back. Namaste and Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. I greet you, the divine in you, with peace from my heart. You know, I don't know if you've ever considered how suppressed sexuality is in our world. It certainly is in the U.S. based on our Puritan forefathers and mothers, and perhaps the attitudes in some European countries are a little bit more permissive or more relaxed. I've had that experience in the U.K. I've had that experience in France, and certainly I've had that experience. I wasn't in Russia, but I've had that experience in Russian culture. But think about the rest of the world, African countries, the Middle East. These are countries, inside many of these countries, sex can't be discussed. The mores are definitely anything but relaxed. Certainly in India, boys and girls aren't even allowed to hold hands. So my guest has just returned from a world tour, and on this world tour, he's attempted to unite sex educators everywhere. Let me tell you a little bit about him. Baba Dez is an internationally renowned speaker and teacher. He's a DACA, an author, and a singer-songwriter. He's a transformational guide, and he's trained both in sacred temple arts and in ways to support others integrate their divine masculine and feminine. Baba Dez has just returned from this amazing world tour. I actually have seen him since he came back from this tour, and I was so blown away by what he's attempting to do. I said to him, you've got to get back on my show right away. So welcome back to the show, Baba Dez. Thank you for being with me.
Hi, thank you, Lori.
Yeah, you're welcome. So I don't know, you know, I know there's a lot of sexual suppression and repression in our world, and I want to know a little bit more about what you're setting out to do and how big is the task? How long is it going to take? Why are you doing it? Tell me about that, will you?
Well, you know, basically for me, it's about creating the kind of world that I want to live in. So, of course, that starts right here at home. And I've been on my own journey and walking that road for a long time. And what I've noticed is that there's other people that are wanting help and support in this as well, and especially people who have been facilitating others in sexual wholeness and stepping back into their power. You know, it's interesting. There's just so many threads of the guilt, shame, and fear that you were mentioning and how it permeates our world and different cultures. And even people where there's a lot more sexual freedom and freedom to talk about things, there are still so many underlying threads of guilt, shame, and fear that people aren't even consciously aware of. So let me start out just by saying that one of my biggest visions is to bring the temples forward on the planet, that there used to be temples all around the world in many major cultures. And these temples were places of higher learning, of creating a more well-being for their communities, and health on every level of being, not just physical, but emotional, mental, spiritual, sexual, and vibrant health and vibrancy for the tribes and communities that the temples were a part of. And what I notice is that the temple starts right here inside of all of us. Each one of us is a temple. And so that's where the work starts.
Now, when you say temple, do you mean it in the literal sense, like a temple, a synagogue, a church, a place of worship? Is that what you mean, like a worship of the self inside, temple inside?
Exactly, you know, and the temples that manifest externally in our communities as gathering places are reflections of the inner temples that we build inside of our own beings.
And I guess it's the obvious, but I'm going to state it anyway, that the places where we were brought up to go to these sacred places turned out to turn us against ourselves. They didn't have us worshiping ourselves as God or ourselves as worthy. our bodies inside, outside, as being worthy of something to regard in a sacred and high way.
I totally agree, Lori. And, you know, basically what happened is, what has happened is that, that the temples kind of got taken over, and they got used for a different purpose. And rather than celebrating and being a reflection of all of our own divine connections, oftentimes a lot of the temples that were really supporting people in their individual power were basically destroyed. The priests and priestesses were scattered. The temple arts had to go underground, because the temple arts are really all about empowering individuals. And a lot of the places and organizations and religions and things that took over the temples and kind of used the temple format, what they did was they became emissaries of putting themselves in between people and God.
Right. Wow, that's a beautiful expression right there. It's so simplistic. It's so easy to follow. Yes, they put themselves in, and they became the agents of, and whatever they made up, you know, maybe they did have visions in the beginning.
Exactly.
Maybe, you know, maybe they were mystics, but later they became more like business people and politicians. And they put themselves in between, kind of like lawyers put us in between our power, you know, our power to argue, or doctors become the expert on my body when in fact I'm really the expert on my body.
Well,
so I
understand. Yeah, it's the same thing. The temples are supposed to be there to support us all with our own individual God connection, and the government is supposed to be there to support us. The government is there to serve us, as
right.
That a service. And what happened was a power play happened, and what happened was it turned out that people were there more to support the temples, and the temples or the government is there to support us.
Yeah, amazing how we can be so co-opted. So okay, so this is great. So what we were talking about and where we're leading to was, you were talking about how the temple starts inside.
Right.
The temple of the sacred space and the worship starts inside of the body and the self, and then starts expanding into our world. So can you take that a step further for me?
Well, yeah, it's basically that the whole idea of a holographic universe, and that, of course, if we want to change the world, then we need to look inside and make the changes that are going to create that kind of shift in the world, and to be consciously aware of where guilt, fear, and shame have disconnected us from our truth, from our life force energy. And when I talk about life force energy, our life force energy, as shamanically speaking, is very much in parallel with our sexual energy. That our sexual energy and our life force energy are really the same thing. And
right.
it's from that place that we actually cultivate our power, and we are able to manifest the kind of worlds and the kind of bodies and the kind of relationships and jobs and abundance and health and everything else that we are wanting to attract in our lives.
Well, I agree with you, you know, wholeheartedly. I wanted to just say something about guilt, fear, and shame. I don't know if I've ever said this to you before. I might have. Fear is a real response, and fear is something that is in the body, and it lets us know whether we should fight or run. When there's real danger and threat, like a, you know, like a dinosaur is going to eat us, and we better run. But guilt and shame are, and fear is used, you know, like it's, we've been trained so that we fear everything, you know, all kinds of things now. So it's not like just a biological response anymore. But guilt and shame, I've often thought that they're not even emotions. They're like a secondary thing that was introduced by the culture, each culture in its own way to keep us in check. But it's not, I mean, there's no, an amoeba doesn't feel guilty or ashamed. You know, horses, you know, I've been, I, a few years ago, I hung around like people, you know, who were doing horsey stuff down in Palm Beach area of Florida. And I mean, horses being jumped over a hurdle, over a very high hurdle, still take a poop right there while they're going over the hurdle. The horse doesn't feel guilty or ashamed that the horse just defecated in front of a whole audience. It's only humans that feel guilt and shame. It's not a real body response. It's not real. It's manufactured.
Right. Well, and I feel like that's kind of that's what we're needing to realize is that, you know, as human beings, one of our gifts is conscious awareness. And like any organism, the human beings are still a living organism. Living creatures, and so we still have that primal connection to fear, and yet guilt and shame is something that is something that happens with conscious awareness, and it's one of the things that we need to be consciously aware of, because we can, just as we can be run by our fear that isn't rational or real, we can be run we can also be run by our guilt and our shame. And that's basically what a lot of organized religions have done, that they've used guilt and shame and fear to basically disconnect us from our power so that we could be manipulated.
Right. It's such a shame. So here we are. That's what brings us together, you and I and many other people, in our own efforts to do something about it. And it's really, I mean, for me, I started out in my own quest about it. And I imagine you did the same thing, like trying to shake off the oppression that you felt in your life from this. And then as you grew, you decided to branch out. Is that?
Yeah, absolutely. Branch out. And you know, what happens is that as I step more into my power and I create the healing in my being, we are, as human beings, we're social beings. And so it's great if I'm free, but I want my people to be free too. And I want us to celebrate our freedom together. And our ease and our beauty and our abundance and our health. And it does, you know, it breaks my heart to see my people suffering, my family in pain or, you know, from different things. So, you know, it happens on many different levels. Helping my family and my father and my mother and aunts and uncles and brothers and sisters to support them to eat a healthy diet so that they're feeling better, so they're not ending up in the hospital with a coronary. For them to really look at the turn over the stones in their lives and look what's underneath as far as how they've been conditioned in a culture that is very entrenched in with guilt and fear and shame around who they are as sexual beings. And, you know, you started out the show by talking about how in some places people can't even talk about these things. Well, right here in the United States, it's very difficult for people to talk about these things. And so, and yet it's really important that we talk about these things because this is the essence of our power. This is oftentimes the stuff that's actually breaking up and destroying relationships and creating all kinds of problems on many levels of our human experience. And one of the biggest forms of abuse is that when we as young adults start stepping into our power and start stepping into our sexual awakening, we're virtually met with silence and ignorance as far as information on who we are as powerful sexual beings.
Right. So, they just tell us to just say no. They tell us to just say no. They can't even. I did an earlier show where there was a sex educator who said, you know, she couldn't have prophylactics. You know, packages of rubbers anywhere near the school that she went in to talk. She couldn't even talk about that with the students. So you couldn't. You're spot on about this point.
Let's take it back even further. What about just being able to teach young men about ejaculatory choice, so they're not running around ejaculating and impregnating young women?
Right.
And I mean, if men learned ejaculatory choice when they were young men, then there's a case for even prophylactics not being so necessary as far as birth control goes. I know that there's another issue around disease, but that's something else.
Yeah. Well, we'll come back to that. We'll we'll have a chance to talk about that some more. If you just tuned into the show, you're listening to Tantra Cafe, a program for spiritual enlightenment. I'm Laurie Handlers, talking today with Baba Dez, who has just come back from a world tour trying to unite sex educators so that there's some kind of energy flow between everyone around the world who's working with people who are stopped by guilt, shame, and blame. Please stay tuned. We will talk more about this when we come back.
Many times on Tantra Cafe, you've heard my guests and me discuss emotional release techniques. Now, you can do emotional release work in the privacy of your own home. In my CD, Shamanic Release in Lati Han, I create a very, very safe and sacred space in which you can do the powerful work I'm known for in my Tantra courses. First, I set you up with the proper positioning and breathing, and then I guide you through emotional states to the beat of tribal African rhythms. Try this CD as an easy way to do your personal clearing work on a regular basis and watch your relationships walk free from emotional baggage. You can order my CD at butterflyworkshops.com for only $20. I believe you're worth it. I hope you do. Go to butterflyworkshops.com and get your copy now and walk free from emotional baggage.
Welcome back to Tantra Cafe. This is Laurie Handlers, your host, and I've been talking to Babadez Nichols about his tour around the world looking for other sex educators, people to help other people, to facilitate other people in freeing themselves from the suppression and the repression that's happened to us around our bodies, around us being sacred and being God on the inside. If you want to at any time, write to me or ask me questions, or if you have questions or want other information about any of my guests, you can write to me at Laurie, L-A-U-R-I-E, at tantracafe.com. Certainly you can write to me on Facebook, Laurie Handlers on Facebook or Twitter, and you can write to most of my guests on Facebook and Twitter. You can find Babadez in both places. You can find him at babadez.com as well. So we're back, and we just left off where you were talking about ejaculatory control. I liked the way you put it better. You said ejaculatory choice, and I've rarely heard it referred to as that. I've often heard it referred to as control, but I love your expression, ejaculatory choice, and how if young boys learned to choose, there wouldn't be as much danger of impregnation. So, yeah. I'm all for that. When I was growing up, they told us that the withdrawal method was not very successful, that many pregnancies could still be. So you're talking about something completely different. Now, I know what you're talking about, but not everyone does. Tell us.
Okay. So what I'm talking about is understanding at a very early age how to cultivate, circulate, hold, and direct our sexual energy. So if we have that kind of awareness in our energy bodies and in our physical bodies, then what that does is energy and emotions, we know now, this is what's really exciting. We know that our thoughts and our emotions affect matter. Quantum physics is proving that. So all these things that we've known for thousands of years as shamans and guides and tantricas, these worlds, the scientific world and the spiritual world, are finally agreeing on these things. And so if we bring in energy mastery and we understand how our thoughts and our emotions affect matter, we can actually have more presence and choice around how our energy moves, including our life force energy, which is very much connected with our sexual energy, which is very much connected with the flow of semen. So if we learn how to redirect that energy and redirect that flow and learn how to actually use that energy for other forms of manifestation rather than children, there's other things that we can consciously create other than procreate. So we learn how to do that. We learn how to circulate that energy to bring more health, more vitality, more power to our bodies, to our families, to our communities, to our to whatever it is that we're wanting to manifest in our lives. Then we learn that it feels much better to circulate that energy than to allow it to just spill out every time that we get excited. So we're spiritual human beings. We're not just animals. An animal gets excited and ejaculates. A human being gets excited. It doesn't necessarily need to ejaculate. It chooses to. We choose to ejaculate, which is what makes us different than animals. So, but see, these arts and these sciences of human energy and are referred to as extraordinary, but they're actually really quite learnable by most human beings. The thing is that humanity has been so steeped in ignorance, and especially men have been so steeped in ignorance because if they're ignorant, they can be controlled. And right, so, it's a whole paradigm shift.
Right.
That's what the temples are about. It's about empowering men and women to come back home to who they are as conscious creators and take back our power and change the world. So that's
exciting. Beautiful. That's just fantastic. That's a fantastic mission and vision, I must say. I'm very enrolled in it, as you know. And
Lori, there's so many others around the planet. It's amazing that there are more and more educators, that for centuries there have been priests and priestesses in hiding because what we teach, these sacred sexual healing arts and these temple arts, have had to go underground because of the persecution. And a lot of places that doesn't exist anymore. It still does. And some of the places I traveled on this last trip, we had to be careful about the information we were sharing because it's very threatening to certain governments and religious organizations.
Yes.
So, here in the United States, we don't have to quite be so careful about that because we supposedly have religious and, these kind of freedoms. And yet still people will, people will still try, even in this country, will try to bash you for having your opinions and practicing your own religious freedom because somehow they are threatened by that.
Yeah, very threatened. Well, look at how threatened the whole world. No, I retract that. Look at how threatened the whole country was over gay marriage. I don't want to go there as a topic necessarily, but that's a sexual.
Good example. Or even women having control over their own reproductive rights. Look at all the bombings of
abortion clinics. Right. Also, I wanted to say something before. I just wanted to say something when you were talking about, the difference between human beings and the animal kingdom. I saw a program once that was about when human beings started standing upright. And one of the things that happened about human beings standing upright was for the first time, women became more endangered. Their bodies female of this species became more endangered in childbirth because standing upright did something to the cervical canal.
Yes.
And so so human beings really, female of the human being species are the only mammals that ever can have chosen to say no to sex because they knew that their life, certainly not today so much, but in earlier times, their life was threatened by having children child after child, and they often died in childbirth. It was a very dangerous process. Yeah. So that also distinguishes us. Again, there's a choice in there that animals don't have. They go into heat, and they have to do it.
Right.
And we don't have that. We human beings are the only species that can choose to have sex or not to have sex, don't have to be in a heat period, can have sex anytime, can procreate anytime, and also have all these choices that they can be faced with, and yet we're never taught all that.
So here's the thing. This is where it gets really exciting. We have the ability to choose, and we have this thing called conscious awareness. And so what the temple arts are about and what I'm passionate about is supporting people to take back their ability to choose and to step deeper into their power so that they can manifest the kind of reality, the kind of world that they want to live in, and they can start manifesting their dreams and their desires. And that's really what sacred sexuality, sex magic, and the temple arts are all about. Creating more health, abundance, ease, joy, health, and happiness on the planet.
And freedom, yeah.
So, freedom's a good one, too.
So let's talk a little bit about all those terms that you just, because I want to come back to the tour and what you mentioned about where you had to be careful. But I do want a little bit of those a little bit on each one of those terms explained. So when you say temple arts, sex magic, and sacred sexuality, those are a little, each of those are slightly different. Can you give us a short definition for each one?
Okay. Well, they're all different, and yet they're all connected. Because, you know, the temple arts are a system of teachings and expressions that bring more health and vitality to people and their communities. So dancing, music, farming, all these things were taught in the temples to enhance people's lives. Conflict resolution, communication, herbal medicine, the list goes on and on. All the things that are skills and tools for enhancing human beings' life, collectively and individually. They're all part of a series of teachings called the Temple Arts. And so all these things enhance our lives. And, midwifery is a temple art. Appropriate commerce is a temple art. So there's a lot of different things that are included in the temple arts. Now, when I talk about, what's another one? Sex magic.
Yes.
Sex magic is the information and techniques of being able to take our life force energy, to cultivate our life force energy and our sexuality, to circulate it, to hold it, and to consciously direct it for the purpose of conscious manifestation.
Okay, I say it a different way, but I love what you're saying. I say it usually that it you use your sexual energy to fuel your intentions.
Beautiful.
And in order to fuel your intentions, you have to know what you want. Most of the time people know what they don't want.
Sure.
But they have to spend some time actually looking on the creation side, on the manifestation side. Well, if you know what you don't want, what would you want to manifest if you could?
Okay. So, how I frame that again is that our conscious intent is an action of spirit or mind, and that actually propelling our conscious intent is an action of the divine feminine or the engine of manifestation.
So it's great. I thought you were going to say masculine because the intention part I would assume is the masculine. It's the consciousness part.
Okay, sure.
And then when it gets here, it, like your book, my book, when they got here, when they actually were something we could hold in our hands, then they were in the feminine.
In a way, I almost feel like there's the intention, which is the masculine.
Yeah.
And then there's the energy. The engine of manifestation, which is the feminine, but I would say that the actual manifestation of it being like our books, for instance, in actually manifest form, I actually consider that more like the child of their communion. That's actually the body. So you've got the masculine and the feminine, and then you've got the children, which is the body, and then the heart, which is love. So those different aspects.
Yeah, I like it. That's great. I never heard it put like that before.
So right. There was another term. There was sex magic.
Sacred sexuality.
Sacred sexuality. Well, sacred sexuality is a wonderful term because it's like, what is it? What's the difference between sex and sacred sex? And of course, that comes back into the definitions of presence, of weaving in with the life force energy or God force energy or whatever you want to call it. But it's bringing our presence and our divine energy into the realms of our sexuality. And that's what makes it sacred.
And also it involves some very much slowing down of the process. I mean, slowing down. It's not, I always say to people, it's not necessarily slam bam and rock and roll and sex. And it could be, but it really does involve some consciousness where people actually like look to see who they're connecting with.
Oh yeah,
and they slow the process down so that they actually have a heart connection and a root connection and all the chakras align. So
sacred is sweet.
Sacred is sweet.
Yeah, sacred is sweet. There's a certain degree of presence and love in there, and slowing down can sure help a lot of times.
Beautiful.
Not that there's anything wrong with intensity at times as well. But so you know, there's a little more definition around some of those terms. But again, you know, it's like these are skills, these are arts that are cultivated and learned as young men and women. And in our culture, in the United States and other modern Western cultures, there's so much sexual ignorance that that's what my passion is about. It's about supporting people to grow up. And it's just frustrating to see so many adult men and women that are so juvenile and underdeveloped. And it's sad. Because they're walking around without power in their lives, and they don't understand I think on some level most people feel like they're missing something. Something's not quite all the way there, and this is oftentimes a big part of what that something is. So it's an honor to serve and to bring teachers of these teachers of this quality that are teaching people about their life force energy. Bring them together and to support them to deepen in their skills and their professionalism. And oftentimes even teachers, there's been so much guilt, fear, and shame about or fear around who they are as educators of these arts, that it's time for them to be able to come out of the closet, own who they are, receive support by the community, and own the fact that they are important. What they're sharing is very important, and that they don't need to hide anymore. It's time to come out and to do what they're doing in the light, and to know that their work is sacred and very important, and it's part of how we're serving humanity.
Yes.
So that's what the conference is for.
I agree. Well, if you just tuned in, please stay tuned. We're about to take a break. I'm talking with my guest today, Baba Dez. You can reach him at babadez.com. And that's spelled BABADEZ.com. And you also can reach him at SedonaTemple.com. I'm Laurie Handlers, your host for Tantra Cafe, and we will be right back.
Are you stuck in an area of your life? For example, having challenging or negative relationships? Are you feeling unfulfilled? Perhaps you're experiencing a lack of energy or possibly even tension in your body. I feel you need to call Kate Holt. Kate Holt is a core energetics practitioner. Whether you work with Kate in a group or in a private session, you'll feel like you're coming home to yourself. You'll become more comfortable in your own skin. You'll discover your unique gifts and be supported to bring them fully into the world. You'll be empowered to create the life you want and have more pleasure and fulfillment. Don't waste another minute feeling stuck. Really. Call 856-261-4900 for a consultation, or visit www.kateholt.info. That's kateholt.info.
You're listening to Tantra Cafe, a program for spiritual enlightenment. I'm Laurie Handlers, and today I'm talking with my guest, Baba Dez, about sex magic, sacred sexuality, the temple arts, all ways for people to reclaim their power and their natural way of being, the way that we and they and everybody was meant to be on being born onto this planet, and ways that have been actually robbed from us and taken away from us over time. So we're talking about how to reclaim that. And we just left off where Baba Dez was sharing with me about people who are sex educators being able to come out of the closet, come up from the underground, able to show themselves in the light again and serve humanity. So now I want to find out about your tour. I know you went to quite a few countries, and I know one of them was Egypt. But so I really want to know how it was to be there. I know you were also in other parts of Africa. So how did you get these sex educators together, and why would they, you know, and how did you get them to come out of the closet?
Okay, well let me start off at the beginning of the tour. It started on the East Coast of the United States.
Oh yeah, I was there.
You were there. And there was a conference and gathering of sacred sexual educators and practitioners, and so you know that was the start of the tour. And then from there I
That was in New York. You started in New York.
Right, started in New York. Then we went across the Atlantic and did some talks in London and did a training in London. And at these trainings, people are coming in because they're either psychologists, they're doctors, they're counselors, they are massage therapists, sometimes they are escorts. There are people in different lines of work that work around supporting people to become empowered sexual beings. And, okay. And have healthier relationships, healthier love lives. So these trainings take place many places around the planet. And, that was very exciting, to see what's going on in the dynamics in England and in London, which is very different than what's happening in the United States. Every country seems to have its own flavor.
Yeah.
From there we went
How
to,
so? How so? Yeah. What do you mean? How did you find it in the UK? Because I've had a lot of experience
there. You know, in the UK, it was interesting because I feel like there's a term tantric massage, for instance, that's being used in London. I found, and tantric massage is a code word for a massage with a happy ending,
which translated to people who don't know what that is a hand job.
Massage with a hand job at the end.
With a release at the end for a man, usually. But it could happen for a woman, so
That's right. But, so what happened was a lot of the practitioners there were just hungry to learn more of the actual skills and tools of the temple priestess or priest and take it beyond just that definition and really deepen their skills, as practitioners. And also to do more education to educate the public that there's a lot more to sacred sexuality and the learning the tantric arts, of course, than there is just the sexual aspects or just, because tantra is way more than just about sexuality, of course.
Right.
So from there we went to Egypt.
Yeah, that's what now you're talking. I want to hear what happened in Egypt.
So Egypt was interesting because I met with some friends of mine who had done some trips there before, and we couldn't actually have a conference there or a gathering or even do public talks there because of the people very much living in Egypt. You know, Egypt years ago, the temples of Isis and the ancient culture of Egypt had many, many, many sexual rites and rituals. It was a very rich culture and a very advanced culture and a very amazing, powerful culture. And the temples were very strong there. And, you go there today right now and basically the Muslim world has taken over, the Egyptian temple arts. And there are a handful of Egyptian people, and we met with some of them, and they are very much wanting to recultivate the true the Egyptian rites and the temple arts. And they're finding it very difficult because so many people are so entrenched in the Muslim religion and Muslim world. And the government there, and it's like that whole religion is part of the whole government structure and part of the whole control structure and control trip that's going on there. So we got together and we discussed things, but it was very much behind closed doors.
Mm.
And
were they afraid when you were with them? Were these people afraid?
Well, they weren't afraid because we were being careful. Mm-hmm. But they when I mentioned to them, hey, let's put out the word and invite the public and let's create a public forum, they looked at me like I was crazy.
their lives could have been endangered.
Lives, their careers, their families, they would be exercised, they would be punished, they would be shamed, their jobs would be threatened, they would be cast out, all that kind of stuff. So you have to be careful in those countries.
Yeah.
While supporting people. They're in their sexual freedom.
You know, I have the feeling, I always say this, some people have argued with me, but I feel that tantra, the kind of tantra that you and I know, I feel that actually started in Egypt. Now, recently I had somebody on a panel tell me that it really started in the Far East, like with Qigong and everything, but I really do feel that Tantra started in the temples of Isis, the things you're talking about. I mean, I do some Egyptian Tantra in my classes that I was just very blessed to learn and be able to use, but I feel that it went to India after Egypt and that it flourished in India, and I often thought that then the spice traders came from the East, from the Far East, and saw esoteric practices happening in India, and then that's how it got to Cambodia and Thailand. And,
I hear what you're saying. Of course, you know, they didn't call it Tantra.
No.
And we know that the, you know, the temple arts, which I call them in an expanded way, the temple arts existed all around the world. And you know, they existed in Egypt. They you know, every culture has had its temple arts and its sexual practices and rites. And I think this is more what we're talking about, you know. And so I don't really identify as a quote unquote Tantra teacher, although I have a lot of, you know, information and I understand the tantric arts. However, you know, a lot of my background is in the Hawaiian Huna and Native American arts and the Celtic arts and the Egyptian rites as well. So I consider myself, Tantra is just one of the schools that teaches sacred sexuality.
Thank you. Thanks for clarifying that. It's great. So tell more about Egypt about how many people did you meet with there? You know,
I met with about 8 people or so, and we traveled around. I did some sightseeing. I went to the temples and a lot of their very important sites. And energetically, what was happening there is phenomenal. And energetically, what is there is phenomenal. And it's I'm really excited about these people because they're talking about digging it out of the sand and making it beautiful again, making Egypt beautiful again, removing the veil. And returning Egypt to its splendor and its glory and its beauty and its power. And so I really love their vision and they're beautiful people and I'm excited to go back there again and support them. From there we went down to South Africa and where we had another conference of African educators and practitioners. And that was phenomenal down there. And we actually have one of the practitioners from Africa, a beautiful man coming to the conference that's going to be here in Sedona this May, May 8th, 9th, 7th, 8th, and 9th, or 8th, 9th, and 10th. Coming up soon, his name is Ankh, and he is an amazing being. He's one of the presenters that's going to be at the conference. You can see more about the conference and read more about Ankh on the Sedona Temple website.
It's actually May 7th, 8th, and 9th.
Great. Thank you for that clarification.
And I plan to be there, too, and I can't wait to meet Ankh.
That's right. Ankh's wonderful. You're going to be doing a presentation, Lori.
Exactly. So yeah. I'm really looking forward to it ever since I saw you last in Phoenix.
Yeah.
You know, a month or so ago, I got really, really, I got very excited about this vision of yours. So this African, so what's happening in Africa? Like you were in South Africa. I don't know I knew the old government customs of South Africa, but I have no idea what kind of religion they have there or how suppressed people are or what have you. So how was the difference between South Africa and England, South Africa and the U.S., South Africa and Egypt?
Yeah, no, South Africa is really amazing. You know, they had basically a whole change in government that was bloodless. It's phenomenal. The way people are working together, cooperating down there. The World Cup is happening there this summer. It's really wonderful what's happening there, and I'm very excited about the healing that's happening in that country. There's a lot of issues that are evolving and being resolved, and so we'll be speaking about some of those things at the conference. But you can talk about all these things out in the open. They have a lot of challenges and a lot of problems around sexuality down in South Africa. There's a huge issue around rape and power over. It's not as bad as some places in Africa, but you still have to there's a lot of education and a lot of change that's happening there. And
do they also have the tribal, do they still have tribal clitorectomies, like removal of the woman's clitoris so that women
don't... Not so much down there. In other places, yes. And that's part of the thing that Ankh's going to be talking about, and I'm excited to for him to share that with everyone. And you know, I just want to put an invitation out that, you know, this conference and gathering is for sacred sexual educators and practitioners, and yet there are a lot of people coming because they're interested in the possibility of wanting to learn more about all these issues, and about maybe learning to learn, see if they want to move more into seeing how sexual education and health can be integrated into what they're doing as far as who they are in their lives. It's open to people who are interested in the subject and want to hang out with a lot of amazing people with a lot of mastery in terms of the sacred sexual healing arts and the temple arts. What was interesting there is that, the next conference is going to be coming up here in December, and it'll be in Cape Town this year. Last year it was in Johannesburg, and Cape Town's a beautiful city, and there's going to be a training down there as well in December. And then from there, we went to, and we're going to go again to Australia. And we'll be having the third annual conference and gathering of Australasian sex and consciousness educators, and that'll be happening in Byron Bay.
Now, we just have a second for this question. You might not be able to answer, but how many people actually did you meet with when you were in Johannesburg? How many people were at that part?
I met with probably about 50 or 60 people.
Wow, so great. And then you went to Australia, and how did you find it in Australia? I mean, my experience with Australians is that they're very open.
Oh, they're great.
Very self-expressed.
You know, and we've done two of these conferences, you know, so this is going to be the third one coming up. And this year we've got a professional conference organizer, and she is looking to make this the largest gathering of sacred sexual educators and sex and consciousness educators in the world. So we've got the Byron Bay Community Center, and that's a lot of people coming from all over the place to meet in Byron Bay for this conference that's going to be in February. So, and a lot of us are going to be doing a lot of planning and networking about that in May here in Sedona for the conference coming up here this month.
Wonderful.
Yeah. It's exciting. So, time.
Let me give some people a chance to know who we are. If you just tuned in, you are listening to Tantra Cafe. I am Laurie Handlers, your host. You can reach me at laurie@tantracafe.com anytime. And on my show today is Baba Dez, who is an internationally renowned speaker and teacher. He is an author, singer, songwriter, and a transformational guide. He's trained in the sacred temple arts, and he has made sure that other people are getting trained in the sacred temple arts. We've just been discussing his world tour to unite sex educators in various countries and cultures around the world. And when we come back, we're going to hear a little bit more about some of the things you might learn or hear about if you come to one of his conferences. So please stay with us. If you're listening to Tantra Cafe, congratulations. You've reached a higher plane of consciousness in caring for yourself and caring for your significant other. Tantra can help with physical and emotional bonding to nurture your relationship. And there's another level of care that you should be considering as well. It's your family's financial well-being. I rely on DeLone Financial Services to guide me on this journey. And Jeff DeLone is my friend. He and I have worked together for years. He even helps care for my father's finances. For information about your family's financial planning, contact Jeff DeLone at 610-356-1253. That's 610-356-1253. Or you can email Jeff at jdelone@deloanefinancialgroup.com.
Securities and investment advisory services are offered through FSC Securities Corporation. Member FINRA SIPC. Jeff DeLone is a registered representative with FSC Securities Corporation. DeLone Financial Group is not.
Hi again, I'm Laurie Handlers, and I'm your host of Tantra Cafe each week. And I have an amazing array of guests on my shows each and every week. You can follow me on Facebook and find out who's coming on to my show and what they're talking about, and you can listen in. Today, my guest is Baba Dez, and he's come back from an amazing world tour where he's been finding out about different things happening in the cultures, how sacred sexual practitioners, people who are sex educators, are coming out of the closet. They're coming out of the light. When I say coming out of the closet, I don't mean that they're coming out as gay human beings. I mean that they're coming out into the light. They're coming above ground to teach people about more empowerment in terms of their own sacredness and their own bodies. So if someone were to come to one of your conferences, you know, why would they come? I understand that they'd find more about themselves and maybe more about education, but what are some of the topics or the hot buttons that you've been focusing on and having people find out about?
Okay, well, you know, for instance, I'm just going to read some of the presentations that are being offered by some of the teachers that are going to be at the conference. Transformational Lovemaking with Charles Muir. Triambika is going to be doing a whole presentation on sex and consciousness educators worldwide. Sean Roop is going to be sharing something on Tantra and Ho'oponopono, which is some of the Hawaiian arts of creating more communion and communication. There's a presentation on sex magic and Shakti dance by Amalia Comatreros. There's another one here on Reclaiming Our Sexual Wholeness by Amrita Grace. Angela Sorensen is going to be teaching something on the art of intimacy. I'll be talking about the world tour. Brad Collins and Star Wolf, the amazing shamanic teachers and healers and practitioners, are going to be sharing about Shakti and the shaman. Bruce Lyon from New Zealand will be here sharing about the cosmic tantra and the arousal of the earth. How to Create Erotic Events by Chris Seri. There's going to be all kinds of panel discussions and forums, mastery. I'm going down to you. And then Lori is going to be there, and she's going to be doing a presentation on moving through intense emotions with tantric techniques. Kenneth Ray Stubbs, the author of Women of the Light, he'll be there with a world premiere screening of his new video of a movie called Path of the Sexual Shaman. And the list goes on and on. Mayor Simone, Lawrence Lanoff, and a host of others. So it's going to be a wonderful conference, and I'm really excited about that. I'm excited about all the conferences around the world that are happening. You can read more about all the different places and locations on the Sedona Temple website, about the intensive trainings that are offered at the Sedona Temple and around the world in conjunction with the conferences. And one of the things I wanted to mention that is very interesting is I've been working on a movie for the last 3 years, and there's going to be a world premiere of that movie at the Toronto Hot Docs, which is the 2nd, 3rd, and 5th of May in Toronto. And the movie's called Sex Magic. There's a trailer of it on both my website and a link to it from the Sedona Temple website. And you can go to sexmagicthemovie.com.
And what's the movie is really about your life, isn't it?
Well, it's about the profiles from sacred sexual healers and my life as a sacred sexual healer and educator and all the things that I do. And it's also about the form of it's about a different form of relationship and how I live my life in relationship. And it documents my journeys as the last 22 years. I've been celibate for 4 years. I've been monogamous in a committed, impeccable monogamous relationship for 10 years, and that I've been polyamorous for 8 years, and how all those paths are sacred sexual paths. And it's about walking them with integrity and power and learning from those paths, the path of celibacy, monogamy, and polyamory. So that's part of what the movie's about.
That's beautiful. Thank you for saying that. Thanks for sharing that with me, because I've had shows on each one of those things. You know, I've had shows on Tantra Cafe, on celibacy. I've had shows on monogamy. I've had shows on polyamory. I've had shows on, you know, every kind of thing. And it's great to hear that you've documented your life in terms of each one of them, you know, a season in your life that you've dedicated for each one of them. And, you know, hopefully you talk about some of the ecstasy of each and the agony of each.
They all have their gifts and challenges.
That's hopefully you're keeping it real on this.
Well,
film.
It's very real, you know, and I think it's more about, again, walking the path with presence and mastery.
Yeah.
And if you understand who you are as a sacred sexual being, it supports you to walk all those paths with more presence, joy, and mastery. And using relationship for celebration rather than using relationships as punching bags to work out your interpersonal immaturity.
Yeah. So well said. So well said.
Thanks, Lori.
So my question for you is, I wanted to know what this hot docs was, because I saw that. I saw the link for that. Is Hot Docs an actual film festival? What is it?
It is. According to the director and the producer and the editor of the movie, it is one of the 10 biggest, it's in the top 10 biggest film festivals around the world.
Oh, great.
You know, it's like Sundance and Cannes that kind of Tribeca, you know, there's all these film festivals, and that's one of the big ones, I guess. So
that's
they're
great.
Very excited that we are accepted to that. It's our first film festival. It's a world premiere, and there'll be more. The film will be showing it more, perhaps, unless it gets snapped up by some distributor or something like that. So we'll see what happens.
Well, I congratulate you, and I wish you the best in that. I've just been on that same junket myself.
That's right. That's right. The Tantric Tourists.
With Tantric Tourists, it just had its New York premiere just this past week, and it was amazing. There were 82 people in the room that I pretty much personally knew, and that felt really good. I've been at other, you know, in London when it opened, there were like 500 people in the audience, but I knew a handful of them. But this time in New York, it really felt like home. So
that's great. Well, I'm hoping that it's going to get screened and aired on HBO or Showtime or one of those pretty soon.
Thank you. I hope so too. So let's see. I want to go back. You know, you're on this really huge mission of, uniting sex educators around the world, having them be treated well, having them feel safe, having them be able to connect with each other and learn from each other. And then you're also, you know, I don't even want to say your submission. I'm going to say your parallel mission.
Okay.
Is to have people who are just starting on the path, people who are just curious, or people in other helping professions, psychologists, sociologists, psychiatrists, whatever, it's to have them come also to these conferences and start to learn from powerful practitioners and from powerful professionals. Now, when did you get this vision? How did you wake up one day and go, okay, this is it?
Well, I think what happened was, understanding the arts and the shamanic arts and the healing, the sexual healing arts and all those things for many, many years, what I noticed is that so many of the people that had information didn't really have a lot of the tools and practices, and they weren't really integrating them into their lives. And I felt like there were a lot of people coming to the States in the Neo-Tantra movement teaching things about sacred sexuality and Tantra, and yet they were missing a lot of pieces as far as the whole picture and what the intention is about. So for me, it was a way to up-level the quality of people teaching sacred sexuality, the tantric arts and shamanism, and at the same time have them come out and be seen and celebrated for the amazing gifts that we all have to offer. And I see that our communities and the world really needs to revere and celebrate who we are, because we're part of the resolution. We're part of what's going to help shift the pain and suffering on the planet into more joy, health, and happiness. So that's a lot of it, because so many teachers of these arts were kind of, again, needing to heal their own guilt, fear, and shame of who they are.
Exactly. Exactly. So I guess the point really is then to keep exposing the teachers to each other, to be able to hold each other,
yes,
teach each other, share our gifts and our strengths, and at the same time, relieve ourselves of our own places that we're stuck, our own guilt, shame, and blame, and to actually, at the same time as we're walking that walk, to be able to be on showcase, to be able to interact with, to be able to connect with all the other people out there who are interested in this, so the planet can speed up its healing.
Yay! That sounds really good to me, Lori.
Well, Lori, I just
want to thank you for doing all that you do, all the amazing workshops that you've been teaching for years, this wonderful radio show that brings so much great information and support to people, and just being the joyous being that you are. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate the acknowledgement, and I appreciate you being on the show. I really appreciate you. I'm coming to appreciate you more and more and what you're doing. I think it's just a great, huge, big trip that's happening, and you're sharing it with so many amazing people. So I really thank you. Thank you so much for being my guest today.
Thank you. It's been an honor, and it's been a lot of fun. I love sharing about all this stuff with everyone. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. You're welcome. So I just to recap, my guest today is Baba Dez, and you can find out about the conferences at www.sedonatemple.com. You can find out more about Baba Dez himself at babadez.com. You can reach me, Laurie Handlers, at tantracafe.com, laurie@tantracafe.com, or Butterfly Workshops. You can follow me on Facebook or Twitter. Coming up next week on Tantra Cafe is a tantrika who combines, I guess what Dez would call temple arts, who combines her practice of Tantra with her amazing skills as a dancer and helping other people to do Tantra dance, to express themselves. So I hope you'll come on and join us next week on Tantra Cafe. Right now I'm signing off. Namaste from Tantra Cafe. I wish you love and peace.